Are you expecting?
Absolutely.
Are you excited?
Yes.
Because the word's going forth today. So let's have a prayer. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing your word with us. Sharing your life. The word of God is life to those who find it, and health to all their flesh. So Lord, thank you for sharing with us the truth of your word, the truth of your healing, the truth of what's already been provided for us. We come expectant today. We come excited today to hear your word, to receive from you. And so we give you praise and thanks in advance for what you're showing us. And we receive that in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 So praise God.
Always.
I'm excited today because we get to share something that I've been meditating on for the last few months. And it's going to be some scriptures that were really very familiar to us. We're going to be spending some time in Isaiah 53. And Isaiah 53 is very foundational. We spend a lot of time quoting things from Isaiah 53. We spend a lot of time talking about that. But there's some things I asked the Lord some months back about, I really want to see something deeper and clearer and get greater revelation on that. And he's showing me some things. And so I want to share some of that this morning. Because we need to have a foundational understanding of some of the things that are in the atonement. There's some things we need to look at. What happened at the fall when sin entered, and then also what happened at the crucifixion when righteousness entered. And so we're going to look at that, and we're going to see in... First of all, let's look at Genesis, because I want to start off with what happened when the fall, when sin entered the world. And that's all described back in Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 2, first of all, we'll start in Genesis chapter 2. The title of the message is, Made Sin, Made Sickness. And we know most of Christianity will say that Jesus died, he was made sin for us. But not everybody has the revelation that he was also made sickness for us. He was made sick. So we're going to be going into that. So in Genesis, God laid out to Adam what was going to happen about the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And then you notice that it says, you shall surely die. Now, that word that was translated here, this die, you shall surely die, if the Hebrew word there is muth. Muth. And what's interesting about this verse, it's repeated twice. It's muth, muth. And it's like, you shall die, die. Or it's like dying, you shall die. So it's more than, and that's the way the Young's literal translation of that verse. It says, dying, thou dost die. Now, my question first off is, if you remember in Genesis chapter 3, when the serpent came and tempted, and they ate the fruit, did they die?
Spiritually.
They died spiritually. Let's see what happened. Let's see what happened at that event, because it's critical here. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. And we'll go to chapter 3. Now, when they ate the fruit, I want you to think about what did happen. What if you know the story there, what happened when they ate the fruit?
They knew they were naked.
They knew they were naked. Mm-hmm. They were naked before, though.
But they realized that they were naked.
They realized they were naked. Because originally it said they were naked, but they had no shame.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what entered after they ate the fruit?
Sin.
Sin. They knew that. Shame.
Obedience. Guilt.
Guilt.
Fear.
Because, yeah, when God came, when God came to see him, he said, and Adam said, oh, we were naked. We were afraid. So here's something. Now, when God told Adam, He said, on the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. You notice God didn't say, on the day you eat of it, you shall surely be afraid. You shall surely feel fear. You shall surely feel guilt. But he said, you shall surely die. So death encompassed more than just that physical event. So when he said, now let's go ahead and look at Genesis chapter 3. And when God is talking with them after the fall, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 17. And what's the first word there? That you have at Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. And go ahead and, does it say cursed?
Oh.
Cursed is the ground for your sake. Where did I? Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. It starts down when God is pronouncing. Here's what's going to happen. He said, "Cursed is the ground for your sake." It's actually. Yeah. It starts into Genesis 3. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat of the herb in the field. In sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. So what's happening here, he's saying, cursed, till you return to the ground. When he's talking about till you return to the ground, what's he talking about? Died and buried. You're going to, yeah. So once again here, we're talking about that die, dying until you die, or cursed until you die. Now all of a sudden, the curse entered the world. So when sin came into the world, a curse came into the world. And that curse entailed the things that we talked about earlier that he mentioned about shame. It talked about toil. It talked about sweat. It talked about thorns. It talked about everything that was bad. It talked about anything that was not life was under that curse. So the curse and death, in other parts of Scripture, they're used interchangeably. When we look at Deuteronomy, it's a familiar scripture. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, it talks about, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Then he tells us to choose life. So he's equating life and blessing, things that are the blessing and as associated with life, and the curse is associated with death. So in that death, when he said, on the day you eat of it, you shall surely die, death entered. But that death was more than just their physical dying. The death was to have anything to do with the curse, anything to do with sickness. Because if you want to see, we won't have time to go through it now, but if you want to list what is all involved in the curse, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, starting at verse 15, on through the almost to the end of the chapter, it lists everything that's under the curse. And sickness is in there. It lists specific sicknesses, specific ailments. Then it also, in verse 61, it says, and every sickness and every disease that's not written in the law is also under the curse. So every sickness, every disease, all fell under that curse, all fell as part of that death. Now, the reason that I wanted to just let that groundwork before we go look at Isaiah 53, I wanted to establish that sin also made an entrance for sickness. That's where sickness was tied to. That's why sickness entered the world. That's how sin made an entrance to death. And that entrance to death was not just physical dying. It's not just a physical death of this proper body, but it was all that death was all the sickness and all the pain. Everything was in there. So then when we look at that, and if we can also see that confirmed in the New Testament, Romans. You don't have to turn there, but in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. And thus death spread to all men because of all sinned. So it's important, okay, there's a relationship between death and sin. And it's important to understand that connection, and that sin brought in death, sin brought in sickness, everything is tied with it. Now we're going to move into Isaiah 53, because we're going to look at what happened at the cross. Because that's where redemption. What happened? I'm going to ask you before we go into it. What happened at the cross? What happened? What did Jesus do at the cross?
Took all our sickness
and our sin.
And our sin? He paid for the price for our sin.
He took it on himself. Died with it.
Buried with it.
He was resurrected to life again.
He took our penalty. He carried it. Now, in Isaiah 53, while you're going ahead and turning there, not only did he die for our sins, he died with the consequences of our sin. Mm-hmm. It's all wrapped into the same thing. And that's where we made the connection. It's not just sin. And I think a lot of Christianity today has a thought of, he paid for my sins. But they don't make the connection that sickness was a consequence of the sin. And not only dealing with the sin, he deals with all the consequence of that sin. And so we can have the victory there because of what the total payment that was paid, the totality of that. And when we're in Isaiah 53, and it's interesting to me that some people will even look at Isaiah 53 and say, that doesn't mean physical sickness. That doesn't mean sickness. It just means spiritual sickness. I don't know if anybody has ever heard that. The first time I heard that was like 30 years ago. And there was some friends of ours. We were in a denominational church together, not spirit-filled. And we got turned on to the Lord. And so we left that church, and they went to a full gospel denominational church. We went to a non-denominational full gospel church, and we were talking one time and talking about healing and talking to them, and they were for healing. And I got to talk to Sharon about, you know, we were excited about Isaiah 53. And they were, and this friend of ours, he said, well, that doesn't mean physical healing. It means just spiritual healing. And it struck me as odd that how could somebody see that? And we're going to go through Isaiah 53 because you need to see that it really is talking about your physical healing, because otherwise you can get stolen from. You can miss out on what really is belongs to you. It's kind of like picture a guy driving a truck and he's going along the road and he sees this person walking, and this guy's a hiker and he's got all this luggage, got all this stuff on him, and he's really having a hard time making it. So the guy stops the truck and says, "Hey, you want to ride?" And he said, "Oh yeah, that'd be great." So he gets in this truck, he goes along a little ways, but the guy still got his backpack and all this other stuff on. He said, so the driver says, "Well, why don't you take all that off and just set it down?" And the hiker goes, no, I mean, I appreciate you that you're carrying me, but I can't expect you to carry my baggage also. Now, what's wrong with that thought? What's wrong with that? He's already carrying it. It's already being carried. So the guy carrying it himself adds nothing to it. He just doesn't have an understanding of, hey, it's already carried. I'm already carrying you. I've already carried the package. Take it off your load. Take the load off of you. Put it in the truck. It's already being carried for you. And I think we can end up with that same kind of mentality when it comes to healing, that somehow we separate healing from the atonement. Somehow we separate that, oh yes, sin is taken care of, but sickness is something different. It wasn't taken care of. It's still something that we want to, that we need to look at ourselves. This in the last week or so, I get different publications, and I was reading something. One of them was from a a healthcare sharing thing, and so somebody was writing. And I'm going to read this. It was a blog. And this was the title of the blog, and I want to see how it impacts you. What it said was, you will waste your cancer if you do not believe God designed it for you.
God is not the author of sickness or disease.
What does that do when you see that? Now, this is a Christian. What is it when you hear that?
Wrong teaching.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. When I read that, it was like a punch to the gut. It was like a punch to the gut. It was like, oh, that's my father that they don't understand. Mm-hmm. It's like, could you imagine as a parent, and you hear your kids talking to somebody else, talking to one of their friends about how you treated them bad, or how you gave them some sickness, or how you did something. Wouldn't that, it's like, you talk about like grieving. It was like I could just feel this. Oh, you don't. No. And then there was another one that I read. It was a science one. Actually, I was doing some work on creation. And they were talking about the viruses. And it was an interesting article from a virus standpoint that there actually are beneficial viruses and how they attack. They can attack bacteria that are bad in the body. So there were some pluses on them. But they ended the article with a statement that I want to run past you also. And the article ended with, in the last paragraph, it said, God has not promised us long life nor good health. What do you think about that? Anything that you can think of that would counter that?
There's a verse that says, "Long life with long life and health, I'll bless you."
Psalm 91. Yeah. Actually, the last verse in Psalm 91 says, "With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation." That salvation is Yeshua. I will show it to you. I'll be with you. So there are promises. There are promises. But do you see, this is the culture of Christianity. This, as you're ministering to others, you're going to be ministering with people that have this kind of mindset. Even though when I read these two things, it was a lot of, you can say, wait a minute, that's not right. And so it's important to have the foundation so that you don't slide into a maybe or maybe. Maybe there is something that God wants to show, but also that you can convey to someone else the truth. So now, let's get over to Isaiah chapter 53. And what we're going to look at, Isaiah 53 really is a powerful, powerful chapter that Isaiah wrote, talking about the crucifixion, talking about the payment that Jesus, the Messiah, was going to be making. So he did this hundreds of years before. And we're really comfortable with, you know, verse 4 and 5. But when I was asking the Lord, hey, I want to see some more on that, I had to stop at verse 3. And I want to spend a little time on verse 3. He said, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." Now, I had kind of skimmed by this one for a lot of years so I could get to verse 4. You know, in verse 4 and 5 is where we talk about how he took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. But I took some time. God had me stop here and kind of look at some of these words. And it says, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I want to look at that piece and look at some of the Hebrew words that are there. Now, in the word that's translated sorrows here is also translated pain. It's also, the word is pain, either physical or mental. So we're talking about pain here. The word that's translated acquainted. Now, we think in our language, in our English, acquainted is someone that you know casually. But actually the word, the Hebrew word that's translated acquainted there is yada. And it's used 947 times. And there's less than 10 times that it's used as acquainted. Most of the time, 750 times, it's translated as know or known. And what's significant about this, it's used in the context, for example, where it said Abraham knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore a son. That's the know there. So there's an intimacy in that know. It's a husband-wife knowing. Now, that's different than what we would use the word acquainted for. I don't think any of you that might be married would say, describe your spouse as, oh yeah, this is an acquaintance of mine.
No,
you mean that. No, it's more than that. Yes?
Did you say Abraham?
Oh, I'm sorry. You are very good. Adam, thank you so much. You are correct. Adam, thank you. Adam knew Eve, his wife.
Because.
Very good. That's right. Thank you. Yes. But it describes an intimacy. So when we're talking about here, this is talking about the Messiah, that he had an intimate relationship with grief. Now, this word grief is important because the word grief is used 24 times in the Old Testament, this Hebrew word. And 20 times it has to refer to sickness or disease. There's only 4 times that it's talking about, it's used as grief. Here in Isaiah 53:3 and 53:4, it's translated as grief. And then there's 2 times in Jeremiah that is translated grief. Most of the time it's translated sickness. And it's translated sickness, for example, in the Deuteronomy 28 that we said, and every sickness and every disease that's not written in this law, I'll put upon you. That's part of the curse. So throughout the word, this is referring to sickness and disease. Now, when you look at that and you look at Jesus, the Messiah, was intimately related with sickness. He knew he had a relationship with the sickness. And then you go on to verse 4. Now you carry that into verse 4, and it says, but it was not his sickness. It was my sickness that he was intimately related to. It was my disease. It was my pain that he bore. It kind of sets it up here that this isn't just a casual, oh, he was acquainted with grief because his father died earlier, or he had this trouble with his other people, or that. No, he's talking about he had this relationship with your pain, with your sickness. This was your pain that he took. This was your that he carried. So it ties that to make it, when I saw that, it was like, it really made it personal then for me. This is my Jesus, my Savior, taking my pain on him. And so, and then what I wanted to do, from here, it flows right into verses 4 and 5, where it talks about how he bore our sickness. This also spoke to me about that he was made sickness. He kind of became one with sickness there. And what I want to do now is I want to jump down to verse 10 in Isaiah 53, because that brings it more, it brings it out again in a different way. In verse 10, it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. Now, again, we see that word grief there. And that phrase, he has put him to grief, is kalah. And it's used 75 times, this word, the Hebrew word, it's used 75 times. And I can only find 3 times where it's actually used as grief. Almost all the times it's used in the word of sickness. And the connotation is to be made sick. To be made sick. And so what we're looking at here is talking about God. It pleased the Lord to bruise him and to make him sick. In fact, that's how the Amplified Classic translates that. Yet it was the will of the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief and made him sick. Now, I want you to think about a couple other places where we use that same connotation of he made. God made him something. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. And there it said, for he, God, made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. All right? God made Jesus sin so that we could become righteous. Now, there's also in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse, that the blessing of Abraham might come on us. So here, we have made sin so we could become righteous. Made a curse so that we could receive the blessing. And here in Isaiah, he said, made sick so we could
become righteous.
Healed. See, it was a healed. It was exchanged. It was all part of that. He became sick so that we could become
healed.
So that could be ours. It's all paid for. It's all paid for. What he took.
Bore means that? It's bore.
Form.
Bore.
What? Bore. Bore means to carry.
Carry. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bore, to bear something, is to carry something. So he bore it, he carried it. Like we talked about the guy that didn't want to put down his pack because he didn't know that was included. He said, well, you can take me, but I don't know that I don't want to impose on you and take my pack and carry that too. But it's the same way we can look at the healing. Now, I want to read it out of the this whole Isaiah 53 from the Message Bible, and although the Message is not a translation, it's more of a interpretive. There's some times when those will add and fill in some pieces there. So in Isaiah 53, I'm just going to read this from the Message. The servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. Through his bruises, we get healed.
We're already healed.
That's, when I was reading through there, it was like, it just moved me. It's like, he was acquainted with pain, but it was mine. And part of that, when you get that understanding, that revelation, that foundation, this is really foundational, then you're speaking from that knowledge, from that revelation of, he took my sickness. So when sickness, symptoms, try to knock on your door, try to make an entrance, say, not in this body. He himself took my sickness. Yeah. As you start to see that, say, no, he took my sicknesses. I want you to just repeat that. Jesus
Jesus
himself
took my sickness.
He bore my pain.
He bore my pain.
By his stripes,
by his bruises,
I'm healed.
I am healed.
Praise God. I am healed.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that makes there's a foundation from which you spring. Speaking and confessing is powerful. It is powerful.
Yes.
But having the foundation on which you're standing on to speak that, it's similar. I think it was a month ago or so, I spoke on the power of the word and how it works like breaking a rock. And I used an example of a rock that I used, and I had a sledgehammer that I was hitting it with. And it took me a number of times to hit it to actually break it. And I was using a sledgehammer. If I would have been using a claw hammer or a small hammer, you think it would have taken longer?
Mm-hmm. Still be there.
Could be still there hitting. Yeah, it's still making an impact, but it's not making the same impact. And that's the same as having an understanding of this word, that you see it and get a revelation for yourself. Because now when you're speaking it with that revelation power behind it. You're saying, this is the truth of the word. I have had it. I've seen it. I have seen it through the word. God has revealed this to me, and I am speaking this from that position of power. And so when you're making that power statement, now you're moving things. Now it's there's power behind it.
Absolutely.
And it's more than just a teaching that you heard, and it's more just a scripture that you read that you have up here that you're just saying. But you actually allow the Lord to settle it into you. And then that you actually see that.
Mm-hmm.
And then have that come out of you. And so when you're speaking, you say, no, not in this body.
Bless the Lord.
And I've had to use that in the last 2 weeks. Whenever things, I'll go around now and I'm saying it a lot more. No, Jesus himself took my sicknesses.
Yes.
When a pain comes, it's like, no.
No.
Jesus himself took my sicknesses. He bore every disease.
He
bore every disease.
He
bore every sickness.
In my Bible, Isaiah 53:10, instead of using the word bruise, it says, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him.
Oh, yes.
Whoa.
And I like that word crush, because I think about the sin and the sickness that was on Jesus was actually crushed.
Mm-hmm.
Smothered, you know, obliterated.
Yeah.
And
taken.
It takes a little further.
Yeah. And that's what I like about different translations.
Oh, God.
When you're looking at different translations, you can God can use those to really squeeze out all the word out of that. And I like to go back for the Hebrew and find out what that said, and that's a good translation.
Which
crush.
One is right, bruise or crush?
Oh, they're both. When you look at the Hebrew word, it's going to be.
But they both
add something. It's kind of like the different facets of a diamond. You're looking at it from different ways, but they both convey the magnitude of it. Some people say, "Well, bruise." Some people say, "Well, bruise isn't so much." But
it smashed your flesh.
Yeah, but crushed is even more powerful from that standpoint.
Yeah.
But it was a total payment. It's like yes. Mary?
Thank you.
Yeah, and I was thinking about when you were reading that out of the Message Bible, you could just see the visual of him walking, going to the temple, and just being like downcast, and I don't know if that's right, but just, you know, like kind of looked down upon. Even people were like, ew, I don't want to be around him. And think about when we feel inadequate,
Father.
Or we feel, you know, like, man, I just don't think I want to cut mustard or whatever. He carried that.
He carried it.
I mean, if we just, you know, just meditate on that, he carried even that, feeling
Amen.
Lowly. And, you know, I mean, and like you'll see kids. I was one of the kids in school that was always getting picked on for no reason. I mean, they were just mean to me. But think, he bore that.
Yes.
You know, he was picked on. He was treated bad. But anyways, I mean, even that, I think, that's huge. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
Or the peace.
The Message Bible.
Yeah, peace was on
him. Yeah, and peace. The chastisement of our peace
yeah.
was on him. We focused here mainly on the healing aspect of it because we wanted to, in the healing class, we wanted to really drive that home because there is other misunderstanding on that even among brothers and sisters. People that we're going to be spending eternity with, our families, that don't have that revelation. And you'll be contacting them. You'll become contact with them. So we're focused on the healing. But it really, what Jesus paid for in that sacrifice was total. It was our mental peace. When it talked about sorrows, it talked about pain, mental or physical. All that was covered. It was all part of in there. In that time. In Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, we talk about it, but the Holy Spirit makes a commentary on that over in Matthew chapter 8. Let's turn there. We've got a few minutes. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to go look at verse 17. And this is when Jesus had raised up Peter's mother-in-law. And then when evening had come, they brought many to him who were demon-possessed. He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." Now, I'm going to have a question for you. I've heard people say, well, that was the fulfillment of Isaiah 53. So it doesn't, that was the total fulfillment. So it doesn't apply to us today for healing. What would you say?
He paid for all sins for all time. He only did it once.
Mm-hmm. He paid for all sin and all sickness at all time. If that fulfills that scripture, well, then it'd have to be the fulfillment of he healed all our, took our sins too. Because the two are intertwined. You can't separate. You can't separate, well, this was for the healing, and this was for the sin. They're intertwined. They're intertwined. It can't be one or the other. Yes?
It was like when that boy was sick, and they said to Jesus about when he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And they're like, what are you mm-hmm. talking about?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, just so you know, he healed him. So it's like, to me, when I saw that one, that was like, whoa, they're both the same.
They're both the same.
They're just in there. You know?
It's not that they can be separated.
No.
So if somebody to say, well, that was fulfilled, that would be saying like all of Isaiah 53, that prophecy was just for this Saturday night prayer meeting in Capernaum 2,000 years ago. Well, it's not. I mean, you can't separate. I think people sometimes, and praise God, we can pray for them to get a revelation of what the actual word says. But people get swayed by their own circumstances. They deal with pain, they deal with sickness, they deal with things like that. And so as an effort to explain what's happening, they'll say, well, God must not heal because I don't see healing in my body. And so they'll say, well, then that must be God's will. So therefore, this must mean something different. So therefore, this must have been fulfilled here. So it's a way of trying to arrange the scriptures in order to explain the circumstances. It's trying to make the scriptures fit the circumstance, fit the what I'm experiencing in the natural, rather than taking the scripture and saying my circumstances have to change to match the scripture. So which one is the final truth? It has to be the scripture. So when we say no. The other thing from that Matthew chapter 8:17, that would be, if it was fulfilled there, then somebody didn't tell the Holy Spirit, because Peter, in his first letter, used that same scripture. Because he said, He talked about the sin. He said, by whose stripes you were healed. So then Peter missed it, which he didn't.
By the Spirit, he did.
But I think also if you look back at, I think what I look at that scripture in Matthew 8, Matthew chapter 8, and then the end of verse 16, he said, he cast out the spirits of the word and healed all who were sick, that it may be fulfilled. So the fulfillment was, to me, I just read it like it is. It says, and he cast out spirits with the word and healed all who were sick, that it may be fulfilled, what was spoken in Isaiah the prophet. So when I see that, I say, well, the fulfillment of Isaiah 53 then was healing all who were sick.
Should be no comma, no word separation.
It's like, to me, those two fit together. He said, I healed all who were sick that it might be fulfilled what was spoken of Isaiah the prophet. Bingo.
Yes.
Done. It just reinforces that.
My dad thought it was mean for people to pray for people who were in wheelchairs. I was brought up Lutheran.
Yeah.
And when I became actually born again, when I was 26 or 8, 28, and I was really on fire with the Lord, and I was singing and praising, and my dad just was sort of like befuddled at me.
Yeah.
Or whatever that was. So.
Yeah, and there's a lot of religion tradition. Yeah. There's a lot of religious tradition. And there's a lot that people choose to believe in order to try to explain the circumstances and try to accommodate circumstances. Well, we speak to circumstances. We speak from a position. This is what the Word of God says. So circumstances have to change. Sickness has to flee. Sickness has to leave. Pain has to go. Bodies, you have to function perfectly. Because the Word of God says that Jesus already took my sickness.
Okay.
Stand up for a prayer here. Then we'll wrap it up. Lord, thank you for the truth of your word. The truth of your word. Thank you for revealing it to us even more deeply, even more clearly, even more succinctly, even more powerfully. That it becomes a personal word to us that Jesus, you took my sickness. You bore every disease. You carried it in your body. You were crushed. You were bruised. You were beaten for my sickness, for my sin, for the chastisement of my peace. So, body, in the name of Jesus, I'm telling you to function perfectly. Pain out. Sickness out. Organs, you function perfectly. Heart, you beat regularly. Circulation, flow. Joints, move.
Thank you for your anointing. Hallelujah.
Body, you are whole.
Glorious God.
By his stripes, I am healed and made whole. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Lord, we praise you. That is our profession, our statement of belief, our declaration based on what you told us. And we receive health into this body, into these bodies. We receive it now. And we give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Prayer ministers, we have you come forward. If you want, you're already pumped up, ready to speak. If you want, if you need some agreement, if you need some prayer, anything you need, come on up. Otherwise, you are dismissed. Amen.